Father God, we bow before you this morning to thank you for this day. Thank you for the privilege to open up our Bibles to read from your word. And Lord, we ask that as we open our Bibles and as we look at your word, we hear your word, may it find lodging in our hearts and bring forth fruit in our lives, that we glorify you and honor you in all that we say and all that we do. And Lord, may we take it out into a world that is filled with darkness, and may we be lights to your glory. In Christ's name we pray, and amen. I ask you to turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 5, and I realize it was just a few weeks ago that I used this same text. But as I was trying to think about it and pray about it, I remember something that my daddy used to say all the time about when it's time to kill hogs. Said they used every part of it except the squeal. If they could find a way to use the squeal, they'd use that as well. And I know some of your parents have also said that very same thing as you were coming along in life. And I think that the Word of God is that same way. That we need to get every bit of good out of it that we possibly can. And when we get that good out of it, that we even use the squeal to say, Hallelujah! Thank the Lord for that which He has given to us in His Word. Luke chapter 5, the exact same text I believe that I read the last time. That's the first 11 verses. If I had a title for my message this morning, I don't always title them, but if I did, it always amazes me in the opening prayer how many times that the prayer goes right along with what I want to try to talk about. In Brother Horace's prayer, he talked about walking with Jesus, and that would be my title this morning. It already was. I've got it right here on my paper. It wasn't just because of Brother Horace's prayer, but he prayed that prayer because God knew that that's what I needed to be prayed. But he also mentioned in his prayer how that the Word of God speaks to the multitudes, but then He also speaks to us on a personal basis. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, is how that God gives a message that is intended and is beneficial for so many people. But when we can open our Bibles and when we can read and we can understand that that particular passage was meant for me. And I've just come to realize there's so much more. I guess the older you get, the more you value different things. Your values kind of change. And the older I get, the more I realize that there are times that I read the Bible and it speaks directly to my heart. And God has made me to understand that when He inspired that writer to write those words, that He had me in mind. When He speaks to your heart, He had you in mind. And He knew that there would be a time that those particular words would be of a great blessing to you. So, with that being said, Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto Him, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And may the Lord add His blessings to the reading of His Word this morning as we think about for just a little while how that the Lord's Holy Spirit, His Word, speaks directly to us. And in speaking to us, He's drawing us from a place where that, from one place to another. And when He draws us, it's always to a higher level. It's always to a higher plane, unless that He needs to draw us to our knees. And sometimes He does draw us to our knees to where that then He lifts us up and brings us to that place. So, walking with Jesus, and the scripture that I used at the beginning of the service this morning in 1 Peter chapter 2 said that Jesus left us an example that we should follow in His steps. It's my understanding, I read a book several years ago, you remember the wristbands that were popular several years ago, WWJD? You saw that everywhere you turned around, WWJD, what would Jesus do? And that the idea of that originated from that 1 Peter chapter 2, that He left us an example that we should follow in His steps. What would Jesus do? I've come to I won't say that I've improved on that, but I've changed that in the way that I look at it, and that is, what would Jesus have me to do? What would Jesus have me to do if I'm to follow in His steps? What is it that He's leading? What is it that He's directing? Where is He taking me as far as my walk with Him? What is He taking me to do? What is He leading me to do? What is He bringing me to do that I might be able to glorify Him with all that I do? Okay, so in our text this morning, we see one picture, but there's three different scenes that are going on. Several years ago, I saw a painting. I have no idea who did it. It probably was actually a print, but it was a scene. It was a farm scene. And you look at it and you see this one picture. But the longer that you look at it, you see all the different scenes that were going on in that individual picture of how they depicted a day in the life on the farm, even to the point of the mama coming out with the switch after the little boy. And I certainly could identify with that part of it. I've worn out a lot of peach tree switches in my time. But as you look at that and all the individual pictures that make the big scene, there's three different ones, at least three different ones in the first two verses of, or first three verses of our text today. The first scene that we see is this multitude of people. And I know there are at least hundreds, if not more, thousands that were there and they were following Jesus. They were there, and it tells us that they were pressing against Him. They were pushing against. They wanted to see how close they could get to Jesus. And the reason they wanted to get to Jesus was because they were listening to what He was saying. They were hearing His word. So that's one scene that I see, is the multitude. But then I see the center figure of that scene, and that's Jesus Himself. And I see Him speaking to them. I see Him, I hear Him teaching them, though we're not told in this passage exactly what it is that Jesus was saying to them. But I know that He was speaking to them concerning the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and the manner in which that our lives can be improved as we walk with the Lord. You'll hear me say that more than once, I hope, in this message. You're walking with the Lord. This is a message that for me goes beyond just saying, well, that was a good message. I hope it'll be a good message. But more than that, I hope that it will be something that sinks into our hearts in such a way that it is a life-changing message for us as Jesus speaks to us as individuals today. So the central figure of this scene is Jesus, and it is all the way through. From this point on that we're introduced to Him in verse 1, as soon as we're introduced to Him, He is the central figure throughout everything else that is done in our message today. So I want us to see Jesus. I want us to hear Him. I want us to receive what He's saying as it is in fact the absolute truth concerning His declarations to the crowd, and then to the third scene in this whole thing, and that is these two ships that are there, and the fishermen that are not in the ships when we originally see them. It says the fishermen were gone out of the ships, but they were busy. and they were washing their nets. So for them, they thought their day had finished. And there'll be some things that, if you remember that I used this a few weeks ago, I wanted to sidestep just a little light in the thing. I told some of you this before, that there have been times that somebody would ask me on Wednesday what I preached about the Sunday before, and I wouldn't be able to remember. It was something, and hopefully it was good, but I just can't tell you what it was. So if you don't remember, then this won't be a repetition to you. But there'll be some things that I will repeat from a few weeks ago. But they're here. They finished their day's work. And so all that's left for them to do is to clean their nets. And we're going to find out, we read it in the text, but we're going to find out that they didn't catch any fish. So their nets weren't very dirty. Maybe some seaweed or some other grasses or whatever, some sand or silt that was there on the nets that they were cleaning to get ready. They're going to go home. I'm going to try to present, I think it's about 6 steps that, to me, lead us to the place where that we're walking with Jesus. And some of them I'll have more comments than others to say. So when I say 6 steps, I hope we're not going to be here to 12:30. But if we are, then, and you have to go, I'll understand, and I'll turn the lights out and I'll lock the doors up when I leave. But as we think about this, I think it's 6 steps that I want to present to you concerning walking with Jesus. And the first step is, it's going to be simple, be available. Be available. You might say, well, what does that mean? Well, they were busy. They were busy. And would you agree with me that we live in a busy time today? We have all the modern conveniences of life, and we have less time than our grandfathers and grandmothers had when they didn't have them. They had time to be neighbors. They had time to realize the important things of life. And sometimes we get so busy and so caught up with things in life that we let things pass us by that are really important to us. But Peter, though he was busy, he was available. When I say available, in all of our busyness, I'm going to try to do a parallel with this. In all of our busyness, and we think we don't have time to do this, we don't have time to do that, we're just so rushed, we're pushed, we're on a deadline, we're on a schedule, and we keep adding things to that schedule, and adding things to that schedule, and adding, and adding, and adding. But the one thing that we don't want to leave off of that schedule is our availability to hear and to receive what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. Because I believe with all of my heart that God speaks to us every single day that we live. And if we could break it down into minute by minute, I believe that God is speaking to us constantly, every day. He's bringing us to a place where that if I'm available, that is, even in all the things that I'm doing, if I'm available to just try to be quiet before God, that He's speaking. And so here it is that Peter's busy, but Jesus says something to him. And we're not told just exactly how that Jesus went from the shoreline to being in the boat. We do know that the crowd kept pushing against him and pushing against him, and he would back up and back up and back up to the point where he's now at the water's edge. And if he takes another step, he's going to go into the water. So in some way, he communicates to Peter, I need to use your boat. I don't know how he says that. We're just not told. It just says in verse 2 that he entered into one of the ships. And we'll come back to that, but keep that kind of in the back of your mind that he entered into one of the ships. There was 2 that were there. But he entered into one of them. I don't know the conversation. It don't really matter what the conversation was between him and Peter. But when Jesus enters into our situation, when Jesus enters into our circumstance, when he enters into our struggles, when he enters into those times where that maybe we don't even... I think Peter was so discouraged that day that... Have you ever... I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Have you ever ended the day at work and said, I'm so discouraged, I just quit. And maybe it's not even work. Have you ever thought, just stop the world and let me get off? I need a quiet time. I need a moment. I need to be able to regroup. And I think that as Peter was cleaning the nets, he was regrouping. He was looking at his circumstance and he was discouraged because he was a good fisherman. But that night, he didn't catch anything. So all of a sudden, Jesus enters he's already into the scene, but now he's entering into the scene of Peter's life. He's coming to him, and Peter didn't know what to expect. He doesn't know what's going to happen, but Jesus does. He knows exactly how that he's going to deal with Peter in this situation in life. So in verse 3 says he entered into one of the ships, and Luke says, and by the way, it was Simon Peter's. It was Peter's boat that Jesus went into. And at that point, he turned to Peter, and we do know this conversation. He looked at Peter and he said, thrust out just a little ways. In other words, take me away from the shore just enough where that people can still hear me, but give me some distance. So the next step to walking with Jesus, first step is to be available. The second step is to be willing. Be willing to do what the Lord puts on your heart to do. And you might say, well, that is so simple. And I do. I'm breaking it down. I have to eat crumbs myself. I get choked if I don't. If I try to swallow too much, it'll choke me out. So I try to break it down into crumbs. So the second step is be willing to take the first step. Be available, but be willing to take the first step. So when Jesus said, take the boat out just a little bit, I don't see that Peter asked any questions. He just said, okay. And he took the boat out just far enough where that Jesus could sit down, he could speak, the people could still hear him. But he was willing to take that first step. And listen, sometimes walking with Jesus, that first step is just a baby step. The older I get, the more I realize that when the Lord leads us and directs us and he calls us into his service, you know, he doesn't expect us to take what you remember. This is dating myself now. Mother, may I? Anybody else play that game? Take one giant step, two baby steps. Take two baby steps. And somebody else just gets to take three giant steps. You say, wait a minute. That's not quite fair. When God calls us, he calls us in increments. He calls us in increments. And I've used this example before. I'm going to use it again. But back in the days when they would build the wooden ships, and they had to bend the timber in order to form the hull of the boat. They would soak it. Then while it was wet, they would bend it just a little bit. Let it dry. They would soak it. Bring it out. Bend it a little bit. Let it dry. Soak it until it got to the form. And God does that with us. As He's forming us. As He's bringing us to the place where He would have us to be. He knows our frame, is what the 103rd Psalm says. He knows our frame. He knows our weakness. He knows that if He were to bend us suddenly, that we'd break. Now He's able to put it back together. There's no doubt about that. I've known people, and you have too. I've known people that when they first feel the Lord leading them and directing them and bringing Himself into their lives in such a way that they could see the thing change. You know what they wanted to do? They wanted to jump to Revelation. This is why for 3 years I put off us studying Revelation on Wednesday night. They want to jump right to the Revelation, and I've seen too many people get choked and walk away because they got discouraged because they don't understand the book of Revelation. I was ordained in 1986 and I still don't understand the book of Revelation, okay? I'm learning things every Wednesday night when we come together. So I recommend go to the book of Psalms. Take that gentle approach. Look at Proverbs. Look at the book of John. It talks about the love of Jesus Christ and all that He's done. The gentle things. But be willing to take that first step. Be willing to say, yes, Lord, if that's what You want me to do, I'll take that step. I'll walk with You. The third step is Be willing to go against your own reasoning. Have you ever approached a situation or circumstance and you already knew the answer before you got there? You thought that you knew the answer. I know how this is going to turn out. And you know what the next response usually is? I'm not even going to go there. I'm not even going to try it. I know it's not going to help. I know it's not going to work. I know it's not going to do any good. So why should I even try? And when that happens, when I get to that point, he says, let's go back to step one. Be available. Be willing to take the first step. And then when it doesn't add up in your mind, understand something, that is, it does not add up in your mind, that there is a higher source of wisdom than we could ever imagine. And I'm using this because after Jesus finished, I don't want to get ahead of myself yet, but as he finished speaking to the multitude, he told Peter, take me on out deeper. There was I think I may have referred to this song the last time I used this, but there's a song that was very, very popular, still is, Step Out Into the Water, Wade a Little Deeper. Take that step. He's taking us deeper. He's taking us deeper. He's taking us deeper. But when it gets to the point where it feels like we're over our head, he picks us up. So after he finished speaking to the multitude, he said, all right, Peter, take me on out deeper. Okay, I'll take you for a ride. I'll let you see the sights. And I'm adding a few things in there, okay? I just imagine that's what Peter was thinking at that point in time. I would have been thinking that. It's pretty once you get out there. You can see the shoreline from way out there, and it's really pretty. Did he even realize that he was talking to the master, the creator of everything that was there? The land, the sea, the birds, the air, the everything? Take me out a little deeper. Now put down your nets. That went against Peter's human reasoning. It didn't make sense to him. Peter was the fisherman. Jesus was the carpenter. And though carpenters may enjoy fishing, fishermen know how to fish. Fishermen know where the fish are and where they're not. They know when they're catching them. They know when they're not catching them. Master, we have fished all night long and not caught one thing. And I'm so glad he didn't stop there. Nevertheless, at thy word. It doesn't make sense to me. It goes against everything that I know about fishing. But you said for me to do it. And that's what I'm going to do. I'll let down the net. And I talked about that. I'm not going back there today. But he let down the net. Jesus had let down the nets. He let down the net. So, he realized. He said, at thy word. That tells me that though Peter may have been mending and cleaning the nets, he was listening to what Jesus said. I won't take a sidestep just now. When we have the little ones that are here in the congregation with us, and you may think their mind is everywhere else, but I assure you, they are hearing everything that's going on. They're hearing everything. More than once, I've had them back there be drawing or coloring, and I would say something like Goliath, and they say, Goliath? They understood. They knew what was going on. So don't ever underestimate that. Peter was busy, but while he was busy, he was listening to what Jesus was telling him. What Jesus was telling the multitude. He was hearing. And whatever he heard Jesus say, again, we're not privy to what Jesus taught the multitude that day, but whatever it was, it struck a chord with Peter. Master, we've toiled all night long. We haven't caught a thing. Nevertheless, at your word. I heard what you said. I heard what you told the multitude. And it settled in me. It helped me to know that there's a difference with Jesus being in the boat than there is with Him not in the boat. There's a difference with us approaching life with Jesus in our life than trying to approach it on our own logical thinking, which is nothing. But when we can approach it in such a way that we understand that Jesus is leading, Jesus is telling us to take this step. He's telling us to take a baby step. He's telling us to take a little bigger step. He's telling us to just forget about our own logic and just obey Him. just the next step of walking with Him. It's walking in obedience. You see, Jesus, when He got in Peter's boat, He sat down and He talked to the multitude. And I broke down let me go back and find it here. In verses 3 and 4 of our text, says the end of the verse 3 says, and He sat down and taught the people. And then you go to verse 4, and He says, let me just put it all together. He sat down and taught the people. Now He said unto Simon, have you ever sat under the sound of preaching? I'm not talking about me necessarily now, but have you ever sat under the sound of preaching, and you know, though the preacher had no idea, I've done this, I'll leave y'all out of this, I've done it. I've sat there, and I've heard the preaching coming into my ear, and I'm thinking, how did He know what's going on in my life? How did He know what I needed to hear? Can I tell you, He didn't. But God did. And there are messages that God gives to the multitude. And I hope and pray that every message that I give is a blessing to some degree to everybody. But there are certain messages that the Holy Spirit takes those words and He targets it right to the very heart that needs to hear it. Though it's a blessing to others, He targets the very heart that needs to hear it. So Jesus taught the multitudes, but now He turned and He said to Simon. So now He's getting very personal. He's getting very personal about what He's saying. This is how that it is. He taught with authority. Remember, here's my kick for the Bible study. We're talking about the Sermon on the Mount this quarter. And at the end of it, I'm getting a little ahead of the lessons now, but at the end of it, it says they were amazed at His teaching because He taught them, not as the scribes and Pharisees, they just gave a canned message. But He taught them as one having authority. And so Peter, when he heard what Jesus was speaking to the multitudes, it spoke to his heart. So he said, Lord, we've toiled. Master, we've toiled all night long. We haven't caught a thing. Nevertheless, at Thy word, because You told me to do so, I'm going to let down the net. So be willing. Be willing to submit to Christ's authority. I've got this one and one more. Because this takes us to the end. It's one thing for me to sit and listen and say, He's talking to me. But it's another thing to take what is said to me out those doors and share it with others. Did you notice what they did when their boat began to sink? There were other boats and they motioned for them to come. Come experience the blessing of what Christ has done in my life. Share it with others. Be willing to submit to His authority, but then be willing to share it with others. And verse 11, the last verse of the text, tells us that after all of that had taken place, when they had brought their ships back to land, to where it began, they forsook all and followed Him. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is the hard teaching. They forsook all. They didn't stop to clean their nets anymore. They didn't worry about their ships anymore. Whatever was going on in their life, they left it behind to follow Jesus. Now, I'm not telling you to turn your back on everything that's going on in your life right now, but we must be willing to come to that place where that we're saying, Lord, here I am. Just take me and use me and get glory to Yourself. But as I thought about that, they forsook all. Here's some of the things that I found that I need to forsake. I need to forsake my mindset. Let's face it, we are programmed by what we hear every single day. We're programmed. And our reaction to what takes place is a result of being programmed. I remember when first got here, and I'd quote Facebook to you all a lot, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I did that. I told you I quit watching news. That's not completely true, but for the most part I have. But I've also almost quit Facebook other than putting a devotion on, because it was shaping my mind. And God forgive me that I quoted Facebook more than the Bible. Oh, it's some good things, I thought. I had to forsake my mindset and reestablish and refocus on what does God say. The world preaches to us every single day. And they're good at it. Believe me, they're good at it. But God's better at it. God's word is the truth. God's word is that which establishes us. God's word is that which gives us peace. God's word is that which gives us joy. God's word is that which gives us contentment. Because God's word focuses us on Jesus Christ, our only Savior, our only Redeemer. And that's got to make life better. I had to forsake my mindset. I had to forsake my map of life. And I do remember saying this in a message not too long ago. I'm not a cowboy today. That's what I was going to be when I grew up. I had it mapped out. I was going to be a cowboy. I was going to ride my horse. I was going to have my six shooters. I was going to be ready to face anything that came along. And somewhere that map got left behind. But you know, I've had other maps of life since then. Do you ever map your life out? I know sometimes it's said, what are you going to do in 5 years? I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. But that's okay. I found out it's okay just to say, Lord, I'm available. Tell me what you want me to do. Take my life. Use it. I don't have to know. I don't even have to know the reason behind it. I don't have to know the logic behind it. Here I am. I want to walk with you, but I know I've got to leave my preconceived notions behind. I've got to leave behind everything that I've been programmed to think and the way that I've been programmed to think. I've got to leave behind my anger. I've got to leave behind my bitterness. I've got to leave behind my very desires. Everything that is Steve Taylor has to be laid down. And then everything that is Jesus Christ has to be picked up. And when I pick up those things that are Jesus Christ in my life, those other things that I left behind, they either don't matter anymore, or God pretties them up and says, here, you forgot something. It's better now than it ever was, because you're walking with Jesus. You're walking with Jesus. I got to do my sixth step. I know what time it is, but I got to do my sixth step because it's so important. It was for Peter. It is for me. And it is for you. Christ allows us to walk with Him even after we've messed up. Can you identify with that? I can. Amen. I can identify with that. He doesn't throw us away. Takes us and He puts us back together. Can you just think about what Peter saw after he left the ships and the nets and everything behind? From that point, I'm just going to name a few of them. Peter saw water being turned to wine. Peter saw eyes that had never seen anything to be opened. And I hope to preach about that sometime. To be opened to see the beauty of everything around. Peter saw lame legs strengthened and people running and leaping and jumping and praising God. Peter saw a man that had been dead for 4 days come out of the tomb alive. He saw all of that. And yet, when it came right down to it, when they said, you're one of them, you were with them, your speech gives you away. And three times we hear Peter say, I don't know him. I don't know the man. I don't know what you're talking about. And the third time, Jesus turned and he looked at Peter, and their eyes met, and Peter wept bitterly. Was Jesus through with Peter at that point? Did he say, "You denied me three times, that's it. Third time's the charm. Let's go on, get on out of here." No. Jesus came to Peter specifically. And now Jesus spoke to Peter one more time. "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, I love you." Notice what Jesus did not say after that. He did not say, "Well, then why did you deny me?" That's what Steve would say. "Yes, Lord, I love you." The second time, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, I love you." The third time, "Peter, do you love me?" "Lord, you know that I love you." "Then feed my sheep." He didn't throw him away. That makes me glad. That makes me glad. So, to bring this to a conclusion, it says, Jesus saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them. And he entered into one ship, and that ship was Simon's. It was no accident. I personally do not believe in coincidences for the child of God. I do not believe that things happen accidentally for the child of God. I believe that God is working behind the scenes in our lives and bringing all things together for our good. I know there's another application of that, and I always try to say that every time, but I also believe that He works in our lives individually, and He brings all things together for our good. It was no accident that He went into Peter's boat. He chose to go into Peter's boat. So what I'm saying to every one of us this morning, when we hear the Spirit of God speaking to our hearts, speaking to our minds, it is no accident. It is no coincidence. Jesus has chosen to come into your life at that moment to take you that next step, to take you closer to Him, to walking with Him. So I pray that the Lord will take my scattered thoughts this morning and that He'll bless us to be able to just be available. Be available. "Lord, here I am. Use me. Take me and use me." Be willing to take that first step, whatever that step may be. Be willing to take that step. Submit to His authority. Understand He's speaking to you personally. And forsake whatever that's holding back. Because once we let go of that, it's like an anchor. Once we let go of it, I won't say it's smooth sailing, but it's better sailing than before to walk with Jesus. But if you mess up, if I mess up, He's not finished with us. He's not finished.